John Perkins, the author of several books, including the New York Times bestseller Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which detailed his experience as chief economist of a consulting firm whose business was to use loans and debt as a way to strip the assets of those countries for a benefit of a few at the expense of many. He's since gone on to dedicate his life to creating much better ways, and he's founder and board member of Dream Change and co-founder of the Pachamama Alliance as well, nonprofits dedicated to creating a sustainable and just and peaceful and thriving world. He received the Lennon Ono Grant for Peace in 2012 and also the Rainforest Action Network's Challenging Business as Usual Award previous to that. He will appear on the front porch Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Oregon Country Fair and on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. At the moment, he's kind enough to be with us here in the KLCC booth. Thanks for being here, John.
It's truly my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it often seems to me that the people who are most dedicated to peace are the people who've been through the wars. On an economic level, is that your story in a certain sense?
I suppose it is, yeah. You know, I was a chief economist at a major consulting firm and really an economic hitman where I went out and tried to corrupt leaders of countries to accept these huge loans from the World Bank and other sister organizations, basically to pay our corporations to build big infrastructure projects in those countries that put the countries into horrible debt, made a lot of money for our corporations, and also put us in a position of saying, since you can't pay your debts, sell off your resources to our corporations, including public sector things like schools and water and sewer systems and utility companies, stuff like that. I was very much down there in the trenches and I saw the system and learned to hate it, and now I'm trying to change it.
What an epiphany you must have had to have that. What brought about the epiphany that made you change from one side to the other?
Well, you know, it's over a period of time, I began to see that it was wrong, and it actually, that whole system is what's taught in business school. I went to business school, and it's shown that statistically, when you invest money like that in those kinds of projects, the GDP of the country increases. But what isn't shown in the statistics is that GDP really only reflects the very wealthy people. Most of the population is not really recorded. It's a very small percentage. So over time, I saw what was wrong, and then I did have an epiphany at one point in the Virgin Islands where I was sitting at this old hacienda, basically a sugarcane plantation. It was beautiful up there, up on top of this hill in St. John Island, and I suddenly realized this plantation had been built on the bones of thousands of slaves. And then I realized that I, too, was a slaver in the modern sense. The job I was doing was enslaving people with debt, not with chains, physical chains, but with the chains of debt. And at that point, I made the decision I would get out and never go back in.
It seems like the extreme concentration of wealth is a cyclical event in not just capitalism, but almost every economic system. How do you confront that?
Well, I think, you know, we're going through a huge change in consciousness. I recently travel all over the world. I travel around speaking all the time, everywhere. And everywhere I go, I see that people are really waking up to the problem. And even the corporate heads are beginning to understand that the system can't go on. You know, one telling statistic is that less than 5% of us live in the United States, and we consume almost 30% of the world's resources, while half the world's starving. And that's on the verge of starvation, and that's not a model. China can't repeat that. India can't repeat it. 5% consuming 30%, it's not repeatable. And people are beginning to get it, that we've got to turn it around. And they're understanding we've created what I call a death economy based on warfare to a large degree, you know, militarization, and also destroying the earth. And we've got to change that. We've got to create a new form of economy that's based on cleaning up pollution, helping starving people feed themselves, creating new technologies for transportation, communication, banking, all these sorts of things. There's a huge economy out there waiting to happen of making the world a better place for our children and grandchildren, and the children and grandchildren of all species.
That's perhaps easier said than dealt with. What sorts of directions would you suggest that we go? I mean, where do we learn from? How do we confront that situation?
Well, I think we are learning. I think things are changing radically. In the 10 years that I've been on this worldwide speaking tour, I've seen tremendous changes in people, particularly in young people, MBA students who 10 years ago said their only goal in life was to make lots of money and have lots of power, and today understand that they want to have kids and they want the kids to grow up in a better world. I think people are getting it. We're admitting that the glaciers are melting, the oceans are rising, species are going extinct. And for the first time in human history, we're all able to communicate with each other instantaneously. That's having a huge impact. Yes, the corporatocracy, what I call the corporatocracy, the leaders of the corporate movement are digging in. They're realizing that they're threatened. But at the same time, there's a true revolution in consciousness that's occurring. And you can feel it very much at places like this fair. But I also feel it in corporate America. I do a lot of speaking at corporate conventions, and they're getting it too. You'd have to be a fool not to understand that we've got to change.
We're talking to John Perkins, author of many books, including the New York Times bestseller, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He will be on the front porch Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Country Fair and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. as well. You talk about the change in consciousness, John, at the corporations. Corporations are a neutral entity then, are they not? They can be a force for good as well as evil?
Absolutely. And that's I think, where we have to go. Right now, corporations control the world. Let's face it, you don't get elected president of the United States unless you make yourself a servant to corporations. It isn't Obama's fault. You got to get that money the way the system is right now. And so corporations really are in charge. There's a worldwide empire, and it's not an American empire, it's a corporate empire. So we're going to have to lean on them, and we got to recognize that the marketplace is a democracy if we choose to see it as such. So there was apartheid in South Africa when I was in college. We boycotted corporations that supported it. It ended. Same with rivers. We had terribly polluted rivers in this country. We pressured the corporations that were polluting those rivers, like General Electric, to clean them up. They did. Open their doors wider to women and other minorities. I mean, we, the consumer, have tremendous power if we just learn to use it. And I think people are beginning to understand that better and better. Thus, the pressure on increasing the minimum wage. The people who work in the food industries are putting pressure. We've got to keep doing that. And really, most of the corporate executives that I know, and I know a lot, want to see that pressure. They want the world to become a better place, but they're afraid to step out unless their consumers demand it, because if they lose market share, they'll lose their jobs.
So for us as consumers then, for those of us who are perhaps not employees of the corporate system directly, is voting with our dollars and where we spend our best vote in that regard? What's our best activity from your perspective to affect change?
I think it's twofold. We just saw Congress yesterday make moves to change the Constitution. So the politicians are beginning to get it. We need to keep pressuring the politicians, and at the same time, we need to pressure the corporations. It's both, you know. And I really tell people, besides that, follow your passions and your skills. Everybody's got passions and skills. I don't know what all your listeners are. I have a passion for writing and hopefully for some skills in it, so that's where I put my efforts. But everybody that's listening has passions and skills. And if we all direct those passions and skills toward creating a world that our grandchildren of all sentient beings will want to inherit, we will get there. There's no question.
John, I know that your journey has taken you to work with indigenous peoples around the world. Talk a little bit about that and about the connection between that and the previous part of the conversation.
Well, yeah, you know, I was a Peace Corps volunteer after I got out of business school deep in the Amazon with indigenous people, and I've written 5 books on that, Shapeshifting the Rose as You Dream It, etc. And one of the teachings in the shamanic world, the indigenous world, is that the world is as you dream it. And they tell us that we in the north have had this dream of heavy industry, big buildings, lots of cars. We gave it energy, so it happened. And now we're understanding that's become a nightmare. It served a purpose. I mean, we've created amazing art, music, radio stations like this, able to communicate around the world, and we've created amazing things, but we've gone too far. And so what they tell us is we've got to dream a new dream and give that energy. And when we do that, things can turn around very, very quickly. We're seeing that happen, and I really think we can turn this around. We need to create what I call a life economy. And that's really not that difficult. We're not talking about putting people out of work. We're talking about full employment, but doing things that will make the world a better place. Cleaning up the rivers and the lakes and the oceans and the air and the soil and helping starving people feed themselves and the other things I mentioned. This is exciting. This is the most exciting time in human history, I think. We have the opportunity to go to whole new levels here of consciousness and change. We're really in a beautiful position, I think. It's going to take work, yes, but I look at it as a dance, actually, more than work. It's fun.
And this dance, this work, whichever it may be, you're doing this through the Dream Change organization. Talk about that organization just a bit.
Dream Change was created in the late 80s, been around a long time, really to encourage other people to have new dreams and put them into effect. Out of that came the Pachamama Alliance, which has become a huge organization. It's in over 80 countries now. And I'd encourage people to go to our websites, dreamchange.org, pachamama.org, johnperkins.org, and find out more. But it really is, it was the initiative of the indigenous people. They said, go back to the United States. If you want to save these rainforests, if you want to create a better world for your grandkid, go back and change the dream of your people. And so that's what I've directed my life to, writing books, teaching workshops. I'll be at Esalen next weekend and doing this kind of work. I do a lot with big corporations. I recently spoke to a couple of thousand CEOs of corporations. So it's all about changing that mentality, the dream or you know, the paradigm, whatever you want to call it. We're not talking about a nighttime dream here. We're talking about a vision of society. You know, we're talking about changing our attitude and understanding that there's something more than being a billionaire.
This is the 45th Oregon Country Fair, however. It's your first Oregon Country Fair. Put that in context with what we've been talking about.
I love it. You know, that's a great question. I just gave a talk here and said, this is the microcosm. You know, here we've got a place that a few years ago was producing tremendous tons of garbage. It doesn't produce any garbage now. Everything's recycled. And what we're seeing here is capitalism. This is not predatory capitalism, which is the capitalism that's running the world today, what I call predatory capitalism. But this is a form of business on the local level that's extremely successful. And so that, you know, when you look around here, it gives you great hope. I mean, all these people doing amazing things, and they're not creating any garbage. And they're feeding each other. They're feeding themselves. And they're selling a few things to each other, organically made things. This is the future. And so all we need to do is expand it a little bit so it covers the whole globe. If we get the Oregon Fair to cover the whole globe 365 days a year, we got it made.
There's a vision I think we can all live with. So thank you so much for everything that you're bringing in the world and for being with us here today.
My pleasure. Keep up your good work, guys, because you're the ones that are really going to do it. Get the word out there.
John Perkins, best-selling author, activist, and economist. He'll appear on the front porch stage at the Oregon Country Fair Saturday at 3 p.m. again on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. More information on all of his works at johnperkins.org, dreamchange.org, and pachamama.org. Again, John, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.